we old people just love to talk about the past.
I asked Brother Steve, I said, are you sure they're even interested? But it's been a good trip, I tell you. You stay with the Lord, it's a good trip. I had godly grandparents. Nobody here, you just wasn't even a glimmer in the eye. But Grandma, you remember Grandma Dickerson.
Oh, yes.
She died when she was 100. And she was so frail, we had to put a fence around her. You couldn't even shake her hand. Every time you shake your hand, you'd tear her skin off. I mean, she was really fragile. It was not funny, Brianna. Well, that does seem funny. But anyway, she was very frail, but she was strong in the Lord. You know, she had lots of health problems, but she just never lost her. You start talking about the Lord, and of course she always had, come in, have a bite to eat. That was her phrase, come in, have a bite to eat. But I have precious memories of Grandma. Grandpa was very young when I died, but and I never thought that was fair, because I never had a grandfather. I thought, you know, because I remembered him. He would tease me, and I was only 3, I think, when he died. But he would tease me, and I'd just beat on him, and Grandma would tell me about it, and she'd say, he just loved for you to get to his little fists up and just hit him. And she said, because he would talk about Grandma couldn't cook, and that'd just make me mad. And I'd just beat on him. Grandma said he just loved that. But anyway, they found the Church of God. And they had lived in the country. Mother told me this and would get tears in her eyes. She said, how God leads you to truth. They were farmers and in Coshocton County. My dad always made fun of that. She's a hick because she's from Coshocton, he'd say. But they had to move to the city because farming just wasn't paying anything. And so they had gone to a church religiously out there. And I called Sharon this afternoon. My cousin is so quiet, you probably don't even know her. Sharon Lehman. Everybody knows Sharon Lehman? No. Well, she's Uncle Herbert Dickerson's daughter. You remember Brother Dickerson from Medina. That's his daughter, and she sits right across the road from me. She's very quiet. But I called her to see when she thought that they came to the Church of God. And she thought it was the middle of the 30s, 1930. I asked Brother Miller, I thought for sure he'd know. He didn't remember. But he said he was only 10 about that time. So, you know, he wasn't interested in remembering all these facts then. So they moved in because of financial reasons and started looking for a church. And they really didn't have anything. But they'd had a good friendship out there in that church, and they missed it. And so they started taking a walk every Sunday. They would walk to a different, you know, they lived in town, but they didn't have a car. So they would walk and see what church, you know, they're just praying, God lead us somewhere. And don't you know, one Sunday they walked up 6th Street and come to the corner of 6th and Locust. And they had the windows open. You know, Brother Miller or somebody said about, we didn't have air conditioning, so all the windows were open. And they walked up that sidewalk. I wasn't there then, but somebody was singing very pretty. I know one thing, well, I don't know, but I don't know if your mother, Sister Ogle, would have been in the choir. I remember her and Sister Stickle in the choir. One had a low voice and one had a high. That's the only people I remember in the choir. But anyway, they were singing, and they went home, and they was telling the children when they'd come by, they said, they sounded like angels singing. And so then right after that, Aunt Helen was on the city bus and met this woman called Beatrice McKnight. And she invited her to church. Beatrice McKnight, Sister B.C., was Brother Wilson's sister. And they're the ones that lived where the Bushes live now. But back then, not too many people had cars, and a lot of people rode the bus. And she was riding the bus, and she invited Aunt Helen out to church. And she asked her, she said, where is this church? And she said, corner 6th and Locust. She said, you know, I think that's where my dad and Mom walked past the other Sunday, and they sounded like, she said they sounded like angels. And so then Grandma, well, Aunt Helen came out first. Helen Dickerson, she was sat in the back. She just died, I don't know, a few years back. But that's how, and then they won my mother and dad to the Lord. And then years, I don't know how many years later, but then Uncle Herbert was in the service, I think, at that time. When he got out of service, he got saved. I don't think any others did. But that, and I wasn't born yet, but I was born in the 40s, late 40s. You don't. I don't always have to tell the truth, do I? I just tell stories. Brother Wilson used to kind of embellish them too, so I feel I can too. Late 40s, yeah. I was brought to the Church of God in my mama's arms, and this has just touched my heart. I mean, just going. Yesterday and today, you know, that's a place of, I didn't want to come out here too bad. I was in love with that building. That's where I got married. That's where a lot of good things in my youth happened, because I enjoyed serving the Lord as a young person. But we come out anyway, you know. But anyway, I was kind of I didn't understand it at the time, but I knew my mother was one person that followed the Lord very closely. I mean, I didn't realize that as a very young age, but I knew she was like God. And my dad didn't think it was important to go to church. Very good man. But I think him and mother went to the altar when they first got saved. And I don't know, but you know, this isn't something that you get in one dose and it lasts you for a lifetime. Right. You know, you have to work at this thing.
Right.
You have to read and pray. And I know my mother told me later in life that he had a restitution to make. It was something about money. They had collected money when they shouldn't have. And she said, I'll take the blame. Just let me write the check and send it in. And he said, no, I'll go to hell before I pay that money. And I don't think he ever did right. I don't think he ever did good after that. Mother told me years later, she never said anything about Daddy. She didn't talk about him. Very good example. I don't think we should talk about her husbands. But she really didn't talk about him, and I didn't understand. Because he would tell me, you know, as a young child, probably before I was 7. I think when I was saved at 7, it made a difference. But before that, he'd say, you don't have to go to church. You can stay home with me. And it makes me feel for children that mom and dad don't believe the same. It's hard on them because I wanted to stay home. Our Miss Brooks, at the old radio programs. You know, we didn't have TV, but our Miss Brooks and Baby Snooks and, you know, all these. I wouldn't stay home when... He said, we'll watch him, we'll popcorn, you know. Sound good to me. But mother would stand behind him. He never knew it. She'd stand behind him and she'd point to the stairway. That's where my Sunday clothes were. And I knew what she meant. She'd give you that crooked thing up here. You know, you knew she meant business. And you know, but it was really respect for what she stood for, because Daddy would have, I wouldn't have had to go. If I'd have said, Daddy, she says I have to go get ready, he's head of the house. But, you know, I had enough respect for her. And if you have a godly mother or dad that has earned your respect, or I don't know, maybe you don't even respect them, maybe you think they're old and cranky. But I'll tell you, if they love the Lord, you owe them your respect. And, you know, I bless the day that God gave me her as a mother, because that was the difference between me serving God and not serving God. And y'all know that she had cancer and almost died when I was very young. And you know, where would I be today if my dad would have raised me?
I don't think I'd be serving God. And that's why I've always had a burden for foster children, because they don't have the opportunities that we have.
Right.
But anyway, my mother didn't drive, and Daddy wasn't interested in us going to church, so he kept moving Mother away and just making it as hard as he could for her to go to church. And I didn't understand that at the time. But he, when I was a baby, he moved us out to Granville. And back then, Granville was like another country. I'd never been to, I was a baby, but, you know, we didn't go to Granville when you don't have a car. And, you know, it wasn't built up like it is now. But we moved us way out there. And Mother had the baby, me, and my two brothers, who he was, you know, just a toddler. And my oldest brother was probably 5 or 6. And it would have been easy to say, forget it. I can't go. God understands. You think she did that? No? She caught the Columbus bus. Some kind of a godly hour, like 6 o'clock in the morning, I think it was. Columbus bus came through. I mean, it was a, you know, and she loaded us all up on that. And we went into Newark and stayed with Grandma and Grandpa Dickerson for the whole day. And got on that bus real late, and Daddy then joined the Army, or joined the, yes, World War II. That, you know, he joined the Merchant Marines. He moved her way out to Granville and then left. She always shook her head. Well, your father liked to travel, she'd say. I mean, he was in his 40s. He didn't have to go, you know. So, you know, what an example. I mean, does going to church mean anything? You know, is it important? Yes. And she really thought it was. And it made all the difference in my life. Made all the difference in my life. And, you know, she was one gutsy woman. Couldn't drive. You know, while he was gone, you know what she did? She sold the house and she moved back to Newark. Yes, I like that kind of woman. Gonna do right, whatever. I mean, what an example. Whew. I've never been sure. I try, but, well, anyway, I'll never measure up to her. But, you know, and every house we moved in, I could tell you, one thing was going to happen. We were going to rent a wallpaper steamer. That's the old-fashioned way of taking off wallpaper. And it sat in the middle of the floor when I would try to eat my lunch. I remember that. Wallpaper hanging. And then she would strip all the woodwork. And when we left, it was a nice house. When we moved in, it was not a very nice house. But her two brothers were carpenter foreman. So she kind of inherited a little bit. A worker and a great saint. And if you have a good mother or dad, appreciate them. Because I'd give a lot just to talk with her today. But I saw how important Mother thought going to church, getting my soul fed. And that made an impression that I still haven't got away. You know, Jim would come home every once in a while with employment application, New Mexico or Texas. I never lost anything there. Or Arizona, where he could get a big promotion. I think we better pray about this. You know, we got two children, and what are they going to be influenced by when we move to God knows some forsaken Air Force base? You know, God kept us in Newark, thank God, yes. But I knew how important going to church was, because where would I be today? Well, that kind of took. That's how I got into the Church of God, and I had godly example. Now, Dad, you know, see, when you're in a divided home where Dad feels one way and Mom feels another, you better go with God's way. It don't make any difference which one it is. Go with God's way, because it's going to make your life a success or a total failure. And I'm so glad. And, you know, another time, now that, I think I got saved about, I know I got saved, 7 or 8. And so up until that time, I was tempted when he would
begged me to stay home. And so, you know, we weren't there on, you know, after he came home from the Army. We weren't, or Merchant Marine, we weren't there very long. He moved her again. She still couldn't drive. We went out to Jacktown. And poor Mama. I didn't even, you know, she had a smile on her face. She thought she wanted to go. You know, she wasn't a crybaby. What a woman. Yeah. And we moved out to there. And he would still, you know, you want to stay home, kids? Yeah. Mother. She'd always stand right behind him, pointing at us. We always had a stairway. Get up there and get your clothes on. So we always did. And actually, for a few Sundays, we missed. And she said, Frank, I'm going to learn to drive. I will learn to drive. He said, you're terrified. And she'd put a car in the ditch when he was trying to teach her. And she said, she'd never drive. And she said, if you won't go to church, I will have to learn to drive. And so he had the teacher. She was just determined. And she learned to drive. And she said she never could. And I mean, that highway got slick in the winter. Finally, he felt sorry for her. And he started bringing us. She won him over. I don't know where he stood with the Lord, but he came to church the rest of his life. And that was just sheer determination, and, well, it was the Lord. But. So, you know, God always made a way. And it's so important to get into church. If it's a godly place, I mean, we have had truth. I was baptized, I'm 7 then. And that's when I got saved. And I don't think I ever was tempted to stay home after that. It wasn't a big temptation. Because God, you know, even with children, he deals with you. So, you know, and I remember my grandmother, one precious memory, when I would stay with her, she would turn out all the lights, you know, good night, and then in the stillness of the night, there was her bed, Aunt Helen slept somewhere else, but her bed was right in front of this window. It must have been a street light out, because there was always light shining through, and here was this little lady in her long nightgown and with ruffles and ruffles and ruffles and her little nightcap on, and she'd kneel beside her bed, Dear Heavenly Father, and she'd pray this little prayer, and that was so precious. I can remember that of Grandma. That and her cookie. She always had the cookie jar open. But that prayer meant so much to me. I just remember that as one of my dear memories of that saint. And she's an icon in my experience. You know, if it hadn't been for Grandma and Grandpa coming to Church of God, but I ever found it. God was good. You know, when I was about, the older ones remember Sister Pfeiffer and her class of 4-year-old boys. Well, I was her helper, and she was funny. But she was a very godly woman. And that was my first teaching experience, was her helper with those little boys. And then when I was 16, Brother Richie asked me to teach a class. 8-year-old girls. And I looked around, there isn't any other 16-year-old teaching. And I just scared to death. I thought, I am going to be embarrassed. And then, you know, the second Sunday I taught, if you saw those pictures, it didn't show the choir up there, you know, down in the basement, but, you know, we did hold service. I don't even remember that, but they said we held services down there while they were building the church, and it had a choir, and that those seats were still there, and so that was my Sunday school class. It was the choir loft, and all it had was a curtain across it. Well, about the second or third Sunday I was teaching, and I really did put my whole heart in it. I thought, if I go down, I'm going to go down really trying, Lord, so you help me. And I had this little job at Big Bear, part-time, and I think I spent all my extra money on that class. The first series of lessons, because they didn't give us anything to teach. I mean, you know, we just get your own lessons, I guess. I don't remember having anything. It didn't give me anything. So I bought this thing that said Preaching Animals, you know, about Jesus teaching about the fox and the sheep, you know, the sheep are, and so I would buy a stuffed animal. And whoever showed the most interest in the class, answered the most questions, said their memory verse, and paid attention, they got the animal. And I had their attention. And you know, while I was teaching, you know, this curtain, you could see shadows. And this short shadow of a man, it was kind of wide, came looming up on the other side of that curtain. And you know who that was? That was Brother E.A. Wilson checking me out. Because he probably wondered what I was doing teaching at Sunday School 16, too. Because there wasn't anybody else 16. I looked at that shadow, and I just about had a heart attack. Oh, God. Well, I know this will be my last lesson, but let me make it good, Lord. Please, please, please. And I just forgot about him. I thought, Lord, you know, I thought you called me to this, but it's okay if you want to cancel that out. It's okay. But please don't let me fall on my face. I mean, just, you know, I'll go gracefully, but, you know, could I please not stumble on the way out? And so, you know, I just did my best and just forgot about the pastor being out there with his big question mark in his mind. And I just thought, Lord, it's okay. And you know what? I didn't get canceled out. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord. Maybe there's hope for me. And so that was the beginning. And then after that, when I was jumping, when I was about 23, Brother Wilson asked me to go out to Buckeye Lake and start a Sunday school. Now, that was a big thing for me. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. But don't send me out there with nothing. They didn't give me anything. Not one little flannel graph, I mean, you know. Like, you're on your own, girl. So, you know, God helped me. And we ended up having Bible school a couple years. I had very good at that. But that's where I learned to knock on doors. And that's a drinking place. Back then it was even worse, I think. And, you know, you never knew what condition everybody was going to be in when you knocked on the door and says, can I take your children to Sunday school? They might just get off of my porch now. But, you know, we got accepted pretty good. Maybe we looked so young. I don't know. But nobody. Now, down in Little Texas, I did. Sister Marie and I got, man came to the door with a shotgun. We did have that. And that was in Newark. Remember that? You don't remember that? Oh, you remember it. My memory's bad, but not that bad. I remember that. And he followed us down the walk. We said, we're going, okay. Just wanted to tell you about Jesus. I don't want to hear about Jesus. You know, out. So we went. But Buckeye Lake, I never had any shotgun experience. And we canvassed that place. Little Tony Nisley and I, she became like my little sister. And then lost that. But I've had so many people I sing with, it just breaks your heart. We sung together. We went to the World's Fair together. Those are discouraging things. But, you know, you just have to go on whether others do or they don't.
Right.
You know, during, you know, about my father, he was a good moral man, and he loved me, and I was the spoiled one. Mother never let me get spoiled. She had to switch, and she made sure I didn't get spoiled. But, you know, he'd have let me get by with murder. And that's another bad thing, if he'd have raised me. You know, that's bad. But when he was evangelistic. Now that doesn't, see, all these things was very confusing to me. The one that wanted everyone to come to Sunday school after he got started was him. If I said, I have a friend at school that I think she would go if I'd ask her, he'd say, ask her, we'll pick her up. He didn't ask where, and we had car by then, and we would go to, yeah, everywhere. We moved every 3 years, by the way. That was one of the trials of my life because I was very bashful. And we moved to a different school every 3 years. And because Mother,
you know, would start with this rundown house, and she would, here comes this wallpaper steamer. Yeah. And she'd redo the whole house, and they'd make a big profit. She made as much redoing houses as Daddy did on his job. That's pretty good. And she never left the house. But he was wonderful about picking up people. And I think, you know, that influenced me. Now, that I got from my dad. And the Packard. I've told some of the girls about our Packard. We had the first bus route. That's why I'm in the bus ministry, probably. No. But and we had as high as 15 in our car. Kid you not. In the back seat, four across. It was a big Packard. They used to make them big. And it was gray, I remember. We really, it's like having a Cadillac. I mean, long. I thought we were really in the money. I found out we didn't have any money. But four across, and then another row on top of them. That made eight. We always had eight in the back seat. And then three in the front. But if there was more, they made a third. They put the little ones up on the third. I mean, when we got out of that car, it looked like the clown car. The car kept getting higher and higher. Yeah, finally, it was up off the ground. But Daddy never complained about it. He had a spirit of evangelism. And I appreciate that to this day. Because that kind of influenced me, who I am. I want everyone to come. Why not? Why not go to Utica after somebody? Your car runs, doesn't it? You got gas, doesn't it? Uh-huh. You can go pick up somebody. We want everybody to come. And my daddy was like, he was wonderful about that. We had the first, I still say it's the first bus ministry, because 15 qualifies for a bus. That's more than we had on our bus this morning. And then the next thing was, my husband and I had the first girls' dorm in Newark. They didn't have one on God's Acres at that time. So my husband let me pick out our first apartment. And I thought little meant I didn't have much to clean. That was a plus. Girls, you know what I mean. It's real hard to make your bed, let alone take care of an apartment, you know. But you'll learn to do it or you'll be miserable. And they're doing beautifully. This morning, everybody's bed was made. And I think, wasn't it? You're looking at me funny. You wasn't even there, Brianna. Yes, every bed was made. And every shoe was out of the... Because we can get a... You know, Brother Bush looks at you and says, we've never had a bad mark. Like, and don't you let it happen either. And so I feel responsible. Like, get those shoes out. And maybe I'm not too nice when I say it. But, you know, that's a safety hazard. And they'll flunky or something. It's something terrible the way Brother Bush talked. I mean, don't let it happen. Oh, no. Might lose another job there. And I love being dorm mom, so keep your shoes out. So they're doing it. It was beautiful. I mean, you know, they. But one of these days you're going to have a house to take care of, and I'm going to come visit you. And like my mother said, do I need to bring a shovel? I said, no, mother, I'm learning. You're not there to pick up after me. So learn it before you're moving out. But anyway, we had moved from a small apartment to this big tri-level. I loved it. We didn't have any furniture. Kind of an empty house. But so our rec room, I told Brother Wilson, I said, you know, I have a lot of friends, because when I was single, I went to every revival there was. And so I had a lot of friends from way, you know, everywhere. Chicago, our Zion trio drove up there a couple times, and we went to the Coffeeville, Kansas. Millie went with me to Coffeeville, Kansas camp meeting. And then the Zion trio went to that one in, but anyway, you know, we went to a lot of, so I had a lot of friends. And he said, well, how many girls you want staying at your house? I said, well, try 15. Jim didn't mind. He said, that's all right, dear. And so they brought 15 beds down. The brethren, I'm sure they thought we was crazy. But we filled them. I don't know if anybody remembers Sister Duke and her daughters that sang. Yeah, they were there.
They were popular girls. They're very good looking. Mom wasn't too popular, but girls were. And had a lot of, you know, my friends from Chicago, Alberta, that was a great piano player. And Moore, Oklahoma was the other place we went. You know, it was filled. We had such a great time. I love company. When New Kids came out, I thought that was the best night of my life. That was just fun. Last year. But anyway, camp meetings were wonderful. That's a time when you make friends, and then after they make, most of them make bad choices in marriage, and you lose a lot of friends. Never see them again. It's sad. And there was a Silvertone Trio from Detroit. Anybody remember that? Silvertone Trio. They stayed there. Wonderful singers. Camp meetings, you know, they're just, you know, everything in my youth was just a highlight. I had the best experiences in that church down there. Was where I remember when we went to Bible school down there. You know what our recreation was? We didn't go out and have a swing set to swing on. That, if you've been there, it's right on the corner of Main Street. No, it isn't really, but you know, it's right in town. So we walked around the block, and we enjoyed it. That was our recreation. The classes took turns walking around the block for your recreation. Just, you know, wonderful times. And memories of Brother and Sister Wilson. I got to ride with him sometimes because I sung at funerals. So that was a great experience. To ride to a funeral, and you know, all he said on the way to a funeral was, "God help, Lord help us, dear Jesus." He didn't talk on the way. He was carrying a burden for them, but on the way home, he'd be a lot of fun. And old brother, now his dad baptized me, Brother Allen. There aren't too many can say that. I don't know anybody else that's living. Probably Aunt Catherine, but she didn't. She can't remember, so she wouldn't say that. Bless her heart. Pray for her. But anyway, older Brother Wilson and Brother Emerson helped him, because that was probably a year before he died. He had heart trouble, so he couldn't pick people up. But I think that's such an honor. He was a great man, Brother Allen Wilson. But you know, as for kids I ran around with, we'd kind of say, "Lord, just any time you want to send him on revival, go right ahead," because we love to hear Brother Emerson preach. So, "Lord, don't you need to send Brother Allen Wilson on revival somewhere?" Because we'd like to hear Brother Emerson. But he wouldn't preach when his dad, in the beginning. He felt so unworthy. And so the only time we got to hear him preach was when his dad would go on revival. That was kind of a joke between us. We'd laugh. Wasn't very nice. But God knew how we meant it, you know. We loved older Brother Wilson. But it was just such a change. And Sister Wilson was, you know, just always so sweet to me when I went up there to wait for a funeral, to leave or something. She just made you feel right home. Truth is marching on. What does it mean to me? It means a lot of price has been paid for it. I think of those dear saints. I think of my mother that worked on that building. I remember the ladies having saw horses when we remodeled into that big, you saw how big the rendition or the addition was. I mean, it's huge, like building another church. But the ladies were out here with saw horses and pieces of lumber, and they were, I mean, we was on a budget. Sure. Yeah, we were saving nails. They were pounding all the nails out and straightening them, trying to save them so they could be used again. That's getting pretty thrifty, isn't it? But that's what they did. And my mother was one of them. They had, and I meant to say, Grandma Dickerson was one of the stamp counters. I can remember her. They'd get, I don't know how many, if it was 100 or what, and they'd put two rubber bands, one this way and that way. I can remember her working for the hours. You know, she passed around those stamps yesterday. Were you there?
I wasn't
But stop shaking your head there. You're confusing me.
I know what she's talking about, though.
You know what it is. Okay. Well, she did that. You know, she would get those. They would come in a big basket, you know. And I'd say, Grandma, you're never going to get them counted. She says, yes, I will. I work at it every day. I came from a long line of workers. I wish I was as good. But, you know, it's a good thing to serve God. It's such a good thing. It's a good life. I enjoy it. I still enjoy it.
Right.
I think it's just the best life. I get to mix with the young people. I got good jobs. You know, when I had a little bit of trouble with my whatever, they don't know what it is. So they said it's nothing serious, so don't have to worry about it. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's just good. Good. I could talk all night. But anyway, it's been good. Kids, keep serving the Lord. And you know my favorite verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything else. That's not exactly the way it goes. But that's the way it is. Everything good is going to be added.
Right.